Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis Show, aired every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Kat Cannabis is the international best-selling author of Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing, and the host of Wicked Housewives on Cape Cod TV show. Together, we will explore cutting-edge insights and philosophies in health, wealth, and relationships. Kat's guests will be ordinary people with extraordinary stories. Now, here is your host, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis.
Welcome to the show tonight, everyone. We've got a great guest for you. Let me tell you a little bit about David Dibble. He is a former CEO. He's a keynote speaker, trainer, consultant, executive coach, and systems thinker. He's the creator of Dibble Leaders. And based on Nobel Prize-winning science, the four new agreements for leaders and managers. He's written four books, including the new agreements in the workplace and the new agreements in healthcare. For 8 years, David worked directly with Don Miguel Ruiz, author of The Four Agreements. Let me tell you a little bit more about David that he doesn't even have in his bio, but I did some research on him. And I can tell you that at the age of 24, David Dibble started a company in a garage with $5,000, and he built it to a profitable $10 million in sales with 200 employees. And based upon the work of Deming and Seng, he became an expert in workplace systems, and he began consulting and adding a much-needed raising consciousness piece to the standard systems improvement work. So without further ado, let's bring David Dibble on here and ask him some questions about how he went from a garage to where he is today. Welcome to the show, David.
Oh, thank you so much, Kat. It's always such a pleasure to spend time with you.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here with me again. And David and I have been friends for a couple of years. We met out in California, and I took one of his most impressive classes. And so I'm so happy to have him here with us today. So, David, tell us how you went from a garage with $5,000 in your pocket to a $10 million business with employees to where you are today with your with what you're doing right now.
Well, it's kind of an old story about entrepreneurialism and so forth. I got out of college, and as I said, I had about $5,000, and we had this idea for starting a company, and we started in the back of an old warehouse. And over time, we started making fewer mistakes and doing a few things better. And we built it to about $10 million in sales, and we had a couple hundred employees. And at one point, we were considered leaders in our particular industry niche. And one of the things that I learned along the way was what we call systems thinking, systems improvement, process improvement, work based on probably the original quality guru, W. Edwards Deming, and then later on Peter Senge out of MIT. But I became enamored with systems thinking because what we found and what the data shows is that 94% approximately of the results that we create in the workplace, both good and not so good, are a function of the systems in which people work, not the efforts of the people. And, you know, how many leaders and managers know this? It's not a high percentage. So I realized that, with this systems background and so forth, and then adding a little bit of what I would call expanded consciousness to it, because Einstein reminds us that we can't solve our problems with the same level of consciousness used to create them, that if we mix these two things together, we would have a roadmap for a transformation of the workplace.
So, actually, David, you kind of lived the American dream there. You went from college to opening up this business in your garage, and boom, you went into a multi-million dollar sales business. So now let's fast forward, and you spent 8 years. I mean, that's phenomenal right there. 8 years studying with Don Miguel Ruiz, who is the author of The Four Agreements. Give us that story. Take us to the beginning and walk us through, you know, how did it even happen? How did you find him? And how did you get to stay with him for 8 years? And what made you leave?
Well, you're right. I'll go back just a little ways to sort of living the American dream. I mean, I was still young, and I had sort of achieved everything I had set out to achieve, and I had a realization. I realized that once you have everything, it doesn't mean you're going to be happy. And so I was filling in these gaps with fast living, booze and drugs and that sort of thing, and actually of course making myself feel emptier. And then one day in 1980, I had a spiritual experience, and I just realized there was so much more to life than I had thought. And so I became a bit of a seeker, and I had the resources, so I just did everything. I read every book and went every tape and traveled around the planet, spending time, you know, and pyramids and mountains and teepees and ashrams and temples, you name it. And then one day I realized, gosh, I don't think the answer's out there, at least not all of it. I was going to do more inner work. And so I was still doing quite a bit of inner work. I was meditating and doing some other things. And so I started doing more of that. And I sort of vowed, no new teachers. And I had some good ones along the way. And then my wife, Linda, she's sort of my advanced scout. She goes out and runs into things and then comes home and says, oh, my gosh, you got to look into this. And I'm like the junkyard dog. I run after these things and dive in full bore and try to learn as much as I can. So anyway, she came home one day and she said, I've just met this incredible man. And I went, honey, no new teachers right now. Now, I've had this discussion with her on multiple occasions, and I've lost every one of them. And so I knew it was just a matter of time before I would lose this one as well, but I still resisted. And so she called me at work a little while later, and she said, honey, I had lunch with Miguel, and I told him you would call him. And I went, Linda, I'm so busy, and blah, blah, blah. And she said, just call him. I said, okay, I'll call him. So I dialed the number, and I put on my best business voice. And so I hear the phone answered on the other side, and I hear, hello. And I go, hello, may I speak to Miguel, please? This is David Dibble calling. This is Miguel. And I said, well, hello, Miguel. I'm Linda Dibble. I think you had lunch with her today. She suggested I call. I don't know why, but I told her I would call you. And he goes, oh, yes, yes, we should meet right away. And I went, Miguel, I can't meet right away. I'm very, very busy. And so anyway, he says, oh, no, we won't meet right away in 1 hour.
Wow.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. Well, he was in town. He was in San Diego at the time, living here. And so I found myself 45 minutes later in my car driving down to meet him. And so I was with him about less than 5 minutes, and I knew exactly who he was, and I knew that he was my teacher. He's a very, very evolved old soul.
Mm-hmm. So you went from I can't meet you right away to staying with him for 8 years. So how'd that happen?
I knew, as I said, after only being with him a few minutes, that he was a true teacher and that he was my next teacher. And so I just began, you know, trying to spend as much time as I could with him. And, of course, I traveled with him. We traveled all over the world together. And I was basically learning what he called the Toltec teachings. And the Toltec means person of knowledge. And it's a very old body of knowledge. It goes back about 3,500 years. And so we were learning what I would call universal spiritual goals, that you could also learn very similar things, you know, studying Eastern teachings or Native American teachings, that sort of thing. But to have the actual teacher, you know, the real deal there, that was very, very special. And so I was with him about 8 years, and we became very good friends along the way. And then one day we were in Teotihuacan, which is the pyramids outside of Mexico City. And I had actually just taken his son through the pyramids. He had asked me if I would do that, and I did. And I went up and was meditating on the top of the Pyramid of the Sun, which is the largest pyramid in the groups at Teo. And I had maybe the most powerful spiritual experience of my life. And it actually sort of changed me physically for almost like a day or so. But when I came off the pyramid and I walked into the restaurant where we were going to meet, he knew right away what had happened. And he pulled me aside and he said, "I'm no longer your teacher. It's time for you to teach." So that was how we sort of ended the 8 year. We were actually more than a student and teacher at that time anyway, but that's how we kind of got to the point where I sort of broke away and started teaching myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That, what a great, great story. So, you know, what really impresses me about that story, David, is rather than allowing you to stay on there and continue on the path you were on, he said it's time for Grasshopper to go out and be the teacher, as it were. And so did you find that daunting a bit when you had to go out and actually make the transition from student to teacher?
Yes, a little bit. You know how it is when you get to be kind of in a comfort zone in a relationship like that. And now I was thinking, okay, I'm going to be doing this on my own. And then the next big thing, which I found to be, you know, certainly something I had to think about a lot was, well, where am I going to teach? Because my dharma or duty in this particular lifetime, I've always been very clear on it, was to teach in the workplace. So it's the workplace is not an easy place to teach. You know, particularly things around, you know, spiritual principles, you know, raising consciousness, things like that. And so I had to think really long and hard about how to reformat these things into something that would be acceptable to the workplace. So, yeah, I did find it a little daunting getting started, but we somehow were able to get off the launch pad and get it going.
Wow. So, David, can you share with our listeners how they can get in touch with you or learn more about all the information that you just shared with us about your beginnings and the 8 years of studying with Don Miguel Ruiz and your website and all of that? Before we go to a break, and when we do come back from a break, we are going to have David talking about his four new agreements for leadership, and also he's going to be talking about some events that he's going to be doing, and it has to do with the workplace. So please share your information with us, David.
Well, the website is the number 4, New Agreements, the number 4, leaders.com. So it's 4, New Agreements for leaders.com. And if you're interested in the training and the events, particularly the ones that are coming up in September, you can just go up to the training tab up there, and they'll all pop up, and you can take a look at them. But it's everything really is on the website if you want to learn more about this work.
Great. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how David was recently guided to leave the Dibble Leaders and move into the 4 new agreements for leaders and what the difference is. So don't go away. We're going to be right back.
Hey, Jenna, have you seen the TV show Wicked Housewives on Cape Cod on Channel 99?
OMG, I love that show. It's with Kathleen O'Keefe Canavan. She's an international best-selling author, and Lori Boyle, the CEO of Lori Boyle Media.
Right. They're hosting a personal development seminar, Retreat for the Soul. It's about your dreams, meditation, healing, and the subconscious mind.
Ooh,
It sounds fun.
And rejuvenating. Let's go. Where do we sign up?
Their website, Wicked Housewives on CapeCod.com.
Did you know that you can use your own radio show to promote your business and become a celebrity in your area or industry? Do you have a great idea for a radio show or a passion that you would like to share with other like-minded people? The Wicked Housewives on Cape Cod radio and TV hosts Kathleen O'Keefe Canavas and Lori Boyle will show you how. Go to wickedhousewivesoncapecod.com. Do you have a great story to tell or do you want to write your memoir? Best-selling author Kathleen O'Keefe Canavas and Lori Boyle, CEO of Lori Boyle Media, are the hosts of the Wicked Housewives on Cape Cod TV and radio shows. Join their Writer's Workshop Intensive to get writing and get published. Go to wickedhousewivesoncapecod.com.
Welcome back, everyone. And we're talking with David Dibble today, a former CEO, who's also a keynote speaker, trainer, consultant, and executive coach. And he started his first company in a garage with $5,000 in his pocket, and he built it to a profitable $10 million in sales with 200 employees. And so he's been talking to us about studying with Don Miguel Ruiz, the author of The Four Agreements. And now we're going to ask David to tell us about what guided him to leave the Dibble Leaders in favor of the Four New Agreements for leaders and how they differ and how he can actually help people use this in the workplace. So welcome back to the show, David, and tell us what guided you to leave the Dibble Leaders.
Well, thank you, Kat. I actually started doing some consulting out in the workplace, and I was teaching the Four Agreements and some other things and some of our systems work. And I realized right away that the Four Agreements are not enough in the workplace. I mean, they're wonderful for personal transformation, but they're not quite enough in the workplace. And so I created the Four New Agreements, which are everything that you need to create a really dramatic transformation in the workplace. So the Four Agreements, they're really very simple, but they're also very powerful. And the first one is to find your purpose. And I believe that we're all here for a purpose, including a higher purpose for work. And once we identify that purpose, I believe that the universe will start to align with us and help us to move forward into realizing that purpose. And the second is to grow and serve your people. And that's really servant leadership. And we know there's actually a Sanskrit term called seva, which means selfless service. And this is true leadership. When we can serve, we serve our people, we serve the community, we serve others as a way of serving ourselves. And then the third one is to be a systems thinker. And this is really critical because if everything in the workplace is systems and subsystems and they're creating 94% of the results, if you want to improve your results, you have to improve your systems. It's as simple as that. And then the last one is to practice a little every day. And we become what we practice. And so we practice, being on purpose, and we practice serving our people, and we practice being a systems thinker. And all of a sudden, we become really a much more conscious leader or manager, and we produce much, much better results.
So you're talking about this systems thinker. Tell us what a systems thinker is. What does that mean?
Well, as I mentioned, everything in the universe, from the largest features, like clusters of galaxies, that sort of thing, all the way down to the quantum level is made up of systems and subsystems, and everything is connected. And so in nature, every system works with every other system perfectly and synergistically. But in the workplace, what happens is the human mind gets in the way, and it starts to try and run the universe, as opposed to allowing things to unfold the way they would normally. If you would allow your systems to basically be optimized as opposed to trying to have them output what the mind wants to output. So if you can be a systems thinker, you can make those systems visible, and you can also learn how to optimize those systems as opposed to what most leaders and managers do, which is to focus on the people as the source of problem solving or the source of performance. And so Systems thinking is an absolute key to being an enlightened or a more conscious manager or leader.
So, you know, I remember when I was in one of your classes that you were teaching, you were actually teaching people how to use these systems by having them be interactive. Remember, we broke into small groups and we had groups watching groups, and you gave us almost like little games to play, which I found so amazing because it showed how individuals within a system can actually work together despite being so totally different to make a business thrive or not. So is that kind of what you're going to be doing at your event?
That's exactly what we're going to be doing at the event. We have there's actually 2 days to the event, and you can take either both days, or you could take one of the other days. But the first event is the 4 New Agreements for Leaders and Managers, and this is basically the foundational course, which teaches people the theory and sort of a little bit of practical application of the 4 New Agreements, how it works, why it works, and how someone could adapt that for their particular business. And the second day is New Agreements Tools. And these are the tools that we've developed over the years to actually do the implementation side of it. So when I go out and I consult in the workplace, I will, for the most part, be working with people on implementation of the tools, how to use the tools, how to make systems visible, how to identify the critical 20% of the variables that are creating 80% of the output, that sort of thing. And over a period of time, when people master the use of these tools, they basically master their work. And they become the people that they solve the problem. So they know exactly what to do. And, of course, if you've got your people as opposed to leaders and managers telling you what to do, actually making whatever changes are necessary to optimize the systems, which in turn optimize the output or the performance, then you're setting your people up to be maximally successful. I think that's the real job of leaders and managers.
And I've got to tell the listeners, you know, when we were doing these practical applications and using these tools in sort of like a game form, it was just amazing. And I had, not only did I have a great time, but I learned that I was one of the people in a management group that does not really like rules and regulations. Remember that when I was and I had the little red balls, little blue balls, and you were going, no, you got to follow these rules. I was like, no, I'm not going to do that in my mind while I was pretending to follow them. So the things that you taught were just amazing. So what are some of the areas where, let's say if an organization wanted to contact you to have you come into their workplace environment and do some skills or some learning with their employees, how would this be a benefit to them? How could you reassure them that this is something that would make their workplace far more productive?
Well, one of the things that is that it becomes obvious when you start to do systems optimization work is that you get better and better performance. Your people are generally much happier. They're much more engaged in the workplace because they're really making a difference. As an example, in one company, it's about a $30 million company that we were working with, I had trained one of their people in implementation of these tools. And this person eventually became the CEO of the company, but not before the previous CEO had taken the company. This is actually in fiscal 2013. This $30 million company experienced a $9 million loss. Mm. Awful. I mean, you're actually, most companies wouldn't even survive that. And so they kicked out the CEO, and they brought in this guy that I had trained and sort of turned him loose. And he re-implemented all of the stuff that we had taught him. And in 11 months, he took this company from a $9 billion loss to a $1.1 million gain with no layoffs. Now, this is unheard of. I mean, you won't find something like this almost anywhere. But this is the power of the 4 New Agreements and having a conscious leader who knows how to implement these agreements in the company. So the performance is just off the charts.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's amazing. And not having to lay anybody off. That's really important. So you said that this work will spread through collaborations and partnerships and joint ventures. You know, what do you mean by that for any of our listeners who may not be real business oriented?
Well,
and how can they be a part of that?
Number one, I would say if we're looking to create a movement toward a new way of being, a new way of leading, and a new way of managing in the workplace that produces this dramatic improvement in value. And I've been told, actually in a dream, that taking this out into the world in a significant, meaningful way will raise human consciousness globally, and that having done that, we are going to be able to solve many of the intractable issues that we face on the planet and as a people right now. So it's taken me about 6 years to get everything ready, and we only launched last year. But the name of the game is collaboration and looking at I can't do this alone. I'm clear about that. It's going to take many of us. And really, the question becomes, how can others really benefit in some way from being involved in the formula agreements for leaders and managers? And we can find lots of ways to create synergies and win-wins for people, whether people want to learn to coach it, they might want to consult, they might want to learn to train, they might want to bring it into their businesses. It's one of those things that you're in a business in any way, there's a way probably that we could collaborate and create more value than we could on our own. So that's what I'm looking for, is kindred spirits who want to come and they want to, let's work together and let's figure out how to create some real wins for both of us in taking this out into the world.
So you're saying, David, that you don't have to be a multi-million dollar business to use this. Even if you're a small business owner and you'd like to use your techniques and your practical applications, it's going to really be helpful to their business. Is that right?
It's amazing. As a matter of fact, in smaller businesses, you can go even faster. We've had this body of knowledge work incredibly well with even solopreneurs. You know, life coaches, executive coaches, mm-hmm. people that are working one-on-one. Because, see, even our personal life is systems and subsystems that are creating whatever results we're experiencing. And coaches are normally asked to come in to help a person solve a problem or an issue of some kind. And that problem or issue has got a very high likelihood of being systems-based. So, you know, when you're having problems in your relationship, I mean, as crazy as this sounds, a lot of times it's systems-based. And so if you can figure out what the system is that you have been using to relate with another person, and figure out what are the things that you need to change in that system in order to change the relationship, then that's possible using the formula agreements.
Well, I'll tell you, David, you are definitely the systems magician here. So we're coming down to the last minute, Joe, believe it or not. Can you share with our audience one more time how they can get in touch with you, either to be a part of one of your events that you're going to have, or if they'd like to know more about the systems and the practical tools that you teach?
Sure. I think the website's the best place. Again, it's the 4newagreementsforleaders.com, and that's the number 4. New leaders, the number 4. Excuse me, new agreements, the number 4. Leaders, so 4newagreementsforleaders. And then I'm also on LinkedIn. And for any of you that are on LinkedIn, that's another good way to connect. And I would say the best thing you could possibly do is look for a way to come out and maybe take even just the foundational course, because it's really inexpensive and it's really powerful. And people walk out of that course with their heads buzzing about the possibilities, whether it's for collaboration or for improving their businesses. So that would be my 2 suggestions.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being on the show with us today, Dibble. David Dibble, we have had a great time, and thank you, everyone, for listening into the show. Meet us again next Wednesday.
Thank you for tuning in to the Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis Show. If you would like to comment or have an idea for the show or have a question for Kat or one of her guests, please visit her on Facebook at Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. This show and previous shows are archived on Blog Talk Radio, accessible from survivingcancerland.com and accessyourinnerguide.com. Join us again next Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Until then, have a great week.